We did have a great time this morning, didn't we? Just an outstanding time of worship. Keith spoke fantastically. And just a sense of that, as Marshall said, just that flow of the Holy Spirit and what he was saying to us. And just got one more thing. I asked Jim if he would share. He felt God put something on his heart this morning, but he didn't feel it was appropriate to share this morning. It's great to have Jim and Pat with us, isn't it? Having moved to Aylsham recently. So I'm going to hand you the...
Yeah. Put a button there.
There we go.
I've got a few notes, though, so I don't waffle.
But I have the button. So if you do go on...
okay. Right. Okay. Well, what a lovely introduction, and thanks so much for that. We've settled into Aylsham Community Church really very, very quickly, and it's just been great the way that you have all welcomed us in. And, you know, we forget a few names here and there, but we're not doing too badly.
Really well,
yes. It's interesting. I was just having a chat with Clive before we started, and we tend to always sit in the same seat there, and I don't want you to think we're taking that over from anybody who used to sit there beforehand. It's just that Pat's partially sighted as well and sees best out of her left eye, so can see the screen. So we're not just hogging that seat forever. It's there for a very practical purpose. But what God laid on my heart this morning was just to bring really a summary of what I think God wanted to say to us. I'll try and summarize it as succinctly as I can, but there were so many words this morning about freedom, and I'm so glad that we've been reminded of the picture again of the cutting of those strings to set the, or whatever they were, to set the bird free. And I had a picture this morning which I didn't think it was right to share at the time, but it is now. And the picture was of a dark and winding road with bushes on either side, and I felt God say to us that in some ways represents what our lives may have been at one stage or another, you know, just meandering or wandering and having no real sense of direction perhaps. And then he showed me a really straight road, like Route 66, no foliage, just through the desert or whatever, with the sun shining down on it. And that picture of that straight highway reminded me of John saying, or coming and saying that he's preparing a pathway for the Lord, make a straight road for Jesus to come in on. And I just think that's so important for us at the moment. And then among the words that were spoken to us this morning, Vincent said he felt that God was calling him to pray for people who needed healing. And it takes a certain amount of boldness to actually stand up and say that, because, you know, we don't own the gifts. God operates through us, and being available to him is just what part of that boldness is all about. And you will probably all know who spoke in tongues this morning. I don't. But again, it takes a boldness to actually use that gift of God. And the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, have been quite bold in giving me an opportunity to speak to you tonight. So there is a calling to be bold. I think this picture of the straight road is really God speaking to us again about preparing a straight road for him, preparation for the whole church, for Aylsham Community Church, for the good things that he has in store for us. And Keith spoke about God's plans for good, plans to get us out of the boat as well, plans for boldness for the disciples who were challenged by Jesus to feed 5,000 people. And to use Keith's pretty exact words, the disciples were so overwhelmed at the size of the problem that they didn't know what to do. That's quite I'd never really heard it explained like that, but I think that's the essence of what it was. And they needed the guidance of Jesus so that they knew what to do. And Keith also said that stepping out of the boat when God is not guiding or directing is seriously wrong. But I believe that Aylsham Community Church is leading into things that are seriously right. And for them to continue and prosper and be of benefit to the community, we need all to stand together in faith for that to be effective. So God is preparing us, I believe, for greater works, for healing, which is obviously very close to my heart, given Pat's situation. I'd like to get rid of these hearing aids, but that's only a minor inconvenience compared with what Pat does every day. So God probably wants to use us in that healing. I believe he does want to use us in healing, probably in deliverance as well. I wonder whether I should actually include that, but I was actually delivered from smoking 30 years ago, and I know one cigarette would put me back on 25 a day. So deliverance is a very important thing. Once you get it, you've got to walk in it. And we live in an age that really needs deliverance from sex, drugs and alcohol. I mean, that's everything that's sort of pushed at us at the moment. So I believe that deliverance is on God's agenda as well as salvation. And sometimes we can sit in our pews, I've done this, so if I've done it, then I'm making a pretty good guess that you might have done it as well, and said, well, that's just Vincent praying for healing again, or that's just Jim giving a summary of the morning again. You know, we can get, oh, really, is this right? You know, but don't let's take that attitude. Let's stand together in faith. Even if you're not called to get out of a boat, you can pray and stand with people who are being called to get out of a boat. If we stand together in faith, I believe that we will share in the blessings of a growing and effective church. And that's really just what I want to bring as a summary of this morning.
Really helpful. I just think it's been a very exciting start to the year for us as a church. I just think the weight of what God has been saying to us right from the beginning of January through January into our week of prayer, just outstanding. And I've tried to summarise some of the kind of main kind of streams and prophetic things that have been coming through in these past few weeks. And it kind of runs to three pages. But I've photocopied a load here, so please do take a copy home with you and take time to kind of digest and let these words just sit with you and pray into. There's far too much for me to go through now, but the whole sense of this is a year of breakthrough, this is a year of advance, an expectation for a fresh move of God. The whole messages of sonship and kingdom that are so kind of dear to us, an expectation of the reign of the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's just so much in there. I can't go through it all now, but please, before you go tonight, take a copy. Hope I've done enough. If not, I'll run a few more off. But let's really kind of live with these words and pray into them and just continue to be full of faith and expectant that God doesn't make empty promises, does he? He doesn't say things to tease us. He says things to us to build our faith and to encourage us and to draw us on that we would step out of the boat when he calls us to do so. So do please take a copy before you go tonight. A few things I want to share tonight. And the first one, I guess possibly the main one, is about church leadership, about our kind of leadership team. One of Morris's last kind of words to us as a church before he and the family moved down to Ipswich was from the New Testament letter of Titus. I don't know if you were all here, you remember that. But basically he was drawing the church's attention to Paul's instruction to Titus, who he refers to as his true son in the faith. And Paul's encouragement and instruction to Titus was to appoint eldership teams in all the churches in Crete, where he had oversight, to be made up of men that were clearly called by God, gifted by God, who reflected God's character. And Morris's prophetic encouragement to us here at ACC was to continue to develop oversized leadership teams. That was the phrase he used, to continue to develop oversized leadership teams. Now, he didn't mean that, therefore, that we just put people in positions of leadership for the sake of it, but that as a church, we are looking to build for the future, to build for growth, not just numerically, but in terms of the scope of what God has for us as a church, in terms of ministry and outreach and opportunities to serve. One of the exciting things for me, as I was invited to come and lead the church here, was the quality of the leadership team that I knew I was going to be joining. A real team. A team with different personalities and different areas of gifting, but all men of integrity and godly character who love Jesus and love his church and have committed themselves to serving and building that church. Clive, Keith, and Marshall have served the church as elders for many years with great fruitfulness, dedication, and anointing, and the church continues to be blessed through their ministry. Pete, James, and Bruce, Pete Athill, James Taylor, and Bruce Cairns, have been serving alongside them as part of the wider leadership team now for a couple of years. And they were brought into this role not just as a stopgap for the kind of transition period of leadership changeover in the church, but they were brought into that team because of a process of recognition in the church and at a wider apostolic level that these were men that God was raising up for leadership in the local church. I have to say that I have really enjoyed, in these last 8 months, getting to know these guys better. We have great fun. We enjoy hanging out together. We have a very clear and united passion and vision for what we believe the church is to be. We don't always agree over every little thing, but we're able to say that and work it through and still be mates at the end of it. But I believe that we are now at a stage as a church where if we're going to be faithful to our New Testament mandate and to the prophetic encouragement that we have received as a church to build strong leadership for the future, the next step in this ongoing process, I believe, is to expand the eldership to include Pete and James and Bruce. And so I would like to commend these three men to you, the church body, in this. Now, when we're looking at the possibility of bringing men into eldership, we should look at four things. We should look at, is there a clear sense of personal calling? Is there prophetic leading? Is there character and gifting in those concerned? And fourthly, is there a recognition by those already in eldership and by the church body and by those with apostolic oversight of the church? Four things to check. So first of all, do Pete, James, and Bruce feel a clear sense of personal calling on their lives for leadership in this area? Yes, they do. Has God spoken over them in line with this? Again, yes. All have received a weight of prophetic guidance and affirmation with regards to leadership and the use of their giftings. Thirdly, does their character match up with the New Testament requirements of an elder that we read, particularly in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? Again, I can answer very confidently, and I know you would too, yes. These are men of a mature and godly character. Do they carry a level of gifting and anointing commensurate with eldership, having demonstrated this over a sustained period in serving the church? Again, the answer is yes. Do they all have the same gifts and personalities? No. Which is great. The last thing we want is an eldership where all the guys are exactly the same. That would be terrible. What we want is a team of complementary strengths and gifts. In a leadership team, diversity is a great strength because we're not strong in all areas. No one person can have strength in all areas of leadership. We need complementary gifts and personalities. And Pete and James and Bruce all bring a very unique input into the team, all bring different strengths and gifts into the team. As well as different types of gifting, Scripture also talks about different ways that God speaks to us, different kind of modes of revelation, if you like. It's summed up very well in Jeremiah 18, where the people are talking about the importance of not losing the teaching of the law by the priest, the counsel from the wise, and the word from the prophets. Time and again in Scripture, we see God speaking to his people and bringing revelation through these three means: through Scripture, through prophecy, and through wisdom. Okay, now each of these modes of revelation has its own characteristics and its own ways of operating. Each brings a different contribution. Each needs to be kind of evaluated and weighed differently and has its own limitations. I haven't got time to go into all of that tonight. But I would suggest that Scripture kind of indicates to us that actually all of us can hear from God in these three ways: through Scripture, through prophetic gifting, and through godly wisdom. But invariably, it seems we are kind of each particularly sensitive to one of these areas. It's very rare to find any one person who is particularly sensitive in all three of those areas of hearing from God. And I think it's very clear, it certainly is for me in spending time with these guys, that actually we see a fantastic mix of these three things in Pete and James and in Bruce, of hearing from God through Scripture, through the prophetic, and through wisdom, godly wisdom. Each of these three guys brings a fantastic and unique contribution to the team. So the fourth question is this recognized by others? Well, as the lead elder of the church, even in my relatively short time here, I firmly believe that these men have been raised up by God for eldership for this time, to take this next step together. I know this conviction is shared by Marshall and by Keith and Clive, and I know too that it is endorsed by those with apostolic oversight over us, particularly Mike Betts and Maurice Nightingale. I know this, not because I've had prophetic revelation, but because I've talked to them and know that it's true. I'm very confident too that actually this is recognised by the rest of the church body here at ACC. So do we vote on this or any other matter in church? No, we don't. Does the leadership team simply make a decision and impose it on the church? No, we don't. Does the apostolic team do this? No, it doesn't. Are we blown about by the prevailing mood of opinion at any given time from those who shout the loudest? No, we're not. What we do expect is that together we're going to hear from God and walk in one heart and one mind and one vision. So I, without reservation, commend these men to you: Pete Athill, James Taylor, Bruce Cairns. I believe God is raising these men up to serve the church in eldership. So with this in mind, I want to invite you and encourage you, not now, but to share your heart and your thoughts with me in this. Please get in touch with me, whether it's by email or make an appointment to see me or give me a ring. But I want to just hear from you, because we want a sense of moving forward together in this. Bring any questions you've got, and I'll do my best to answer them. If it's just to say yes, especially if it's just to say yes, please express your feelings to me. feel free, too, to be in touch with the apostolic oversight if you feel that would be helpful in this. In one sense, I believe this is a very natural step for Pete and James and Bruce to take. But at the same time, it's a very significant and very exciting one. The commissioning of men into eldership through the laying on of the hands of the apostles and the accompanying anointing of the Holy Spirit for this office, along with the assuming of spiritual responsibility for the church, is a big deal. It's not a crushing burden, but it is a releasing and empowering step of taking up godly authority, God-given authority, which strengthens the whole church. So I want to commend these men to you and just invite you to come and speak to me. Just express your heart and express your feelings. Bring any questions you have, that's fine. But I could not, in more strong terms or with more excitement in my heart, commend these men to you. I think we are so blessed of God with those that he is raising up to serve us and to lead us at this time. One other thing I need to share with you tonight about the leadership team is that Clive, after much prayerful and thoughtful consideration, feels it's the right time to step down from eldership. It's been a real joy and privilege to have been able to serve with Clive, even over this short period of time that we've been here. And his friendship and his input, and Pat's too, have been invaluable. Clive and Pat are deeply loved and highly esteemed, I know, by you all. So you'll be delighted to know that they're not going anywhere. But I'd just like to invite Clive to just share for a minute.
Okay, this was not a decision made recently. It was a decision made 2 years ago. One meeting that we had with Morris, one elders meeting that we had with Morris, he asked us the question, all the elders, could you please write to him to map out our futures? And I wrote a letter to Morris. So what I want to do now is just read that letter. And it's amazing. What amazes me, it should amaze me, God's timing in these things. And I'll just read the letter, and then perhaps I'll say a few things after that. I've titled it, The Boss Calls. The whistle blows for half-time, refreshment, a cup of tea, and a talk from the boss, and he says that he's going to change things in the second half. In fact, he tells us that we will be defined by how we play in the second half, because in the second half, we're going on an attack to take back the ground lost to the opposition. I'm reminded of this prophetic word brought to us at the Brighton Leaders Conference as I write to you about my and Pat's future plans. Some 11 years ago, we were in Serbia at Vlada and Sonia's wedding, and we were traveling back to Belgrade to go home, and God spoke to us about the adventures we had had, just had, and of those we would have in the future. So what is God speaking to us about as we continue to enable his kingdom to advance? First, we will be involved in transition. I guess the transition started about 2 years ago, didn't it? So it's just right at the beginning of Morris considering himself going and bringing other people into eldership. First, we'll be involved in transition. That will take place in introducing new players into the team leadership. We see this as an opportunity to cheer on those who are taking on the baton in serving his wonderful church in Aylsham. So what happens when this job is done and we step down from leadership? One area that's of particular interest to us is families. I want to stop there. When I wrote this, I was thinking of families other than our own families. But as you know, we've got a son and daughter. We've got to have twins, hopefully, in July. And so our family is going to be growing. And we're going to have opportunity as a consequence of that decision we made 2 years ago. We'll have an opportunity to go and visit family. And we have an inactive family, but our family is going to grow in the years to come, and we'll have that opportunity. But yes, we are particularly interested in families. Pat was already involved in that, but both of us have a heart to see the status of families being redeemed. We believe this is one of those areas where we have seen the enemy take so much ground, and we believe God has called us to do this work together. So that's one work that God put on our hearts then. Since then, I guess other things have come up, and I want to share with those now, because I'm really am not firm in my mind what God is calling me to do exactly. But that's one of the areas that certainly he's talked to us about. Another area that God is talking to us about is to make ourselves available to encourage other church situations in the UK. One of the things we've not been able to do as elders is to get to other churches. I think as non-elders, we can do that more often. You know, if we can support a church or encourage a couple or that's struggling, or whatever it might be, in a church, in a church situation, we make ourselves available in that. We desire to serve these situations in whatever way we can. Whilst we see ourselves based in Aylesbury, we feel that God is calling us to travel, to go wherever he leads us. One of the things recently that has happened, some weeks ago, I got in touch with a guy who I knew right from being in primary school, and we went to secondary school together. We worked in the same place. He went off to Africa, and I lost touch with him. And one of the things that I've got, in fact, got in touch with him, got onto Skype and had a two-hour conversation with a guy I'd not seen for many, many years. And it made me think that I'm not neglecting my family. You know, our family are in Wales or in Kent, so they're spread out a bit. But we've not neglected them, our family, but we've neglected our friends. You know, even friends close to us. We don't have the opportunity because of the time we spend and in the things that we do to actually spend time with our friends. And most of our friends are unsaved friends. So there's fantastic opportunities to actually go. I mean, we've already agreed we're going to Africa in January, and we hope that will turn out to be the case. But basically, my heart is that, and Pat's heart, is that we go there and to take the love of Jesus to that place. And it was, I just want to share something, and it's something was said to me over Skype from this guy that I haven't seen for years. People have said to him, why is he so gentle? And he said to me, I'm almost very emotional here, he said to me, it was because of me, because I was so gentle. And I said, well, I always thought he was gentle anyway. But basically what I'm saying is that God, that's when I wasn't a Christian, right? As a Christian, I and we can affect people's lives just by being with them and sharing their lives. So, travel is something that we certainly I wrote down here we were doing. Because when we went to Serbia that first time, it was just such an adventure, and God spoke to us about that. We believe that God is going to continue that adventure. It's not going to stop because I'm moving from eldership into sitting back in second row or whatever. not the front row. In the meantime, I will continue to do a proper job to pay the bills until I get my pension. Just stop there is that I also thought to know that I've already asked my boss if I could be set free from my work this year. You can pray for that, because basically I'm hoping they'll give me some money to do that. But if it doesn't, then we'll have to wait and see what happens there. So I and Pat are going to be around for some time. We're going to be around. And I do not see stepping down from eldership in any shape or form as being a backward step. It is that it'll free us up to do things that we weren't able to do before, certainly with the family, but also within the church. And we're both, hopefully, you regard us as encouragers, and we will get alongside people. We'll point to you elders, people who are really catching, you know, the fire of God in their hearts, and hopefully encourage them to. Because I think, you know, we talk about the leadership here. There are so many potential leaders in this church. You know, you've got one generation here, but there's another generation coming on. And what that means, I don't know. You can have a very big, big team. But that was what I wrote in March 2010. So I just want to thank you, really, for the many years, really, because in some ways it's not just about eldership. We've seen the best of this church. We've seen a very difficult... We've gone through the difficult times. We've gone through fantastic times, and certainly we're going through very good times at the moment. And I think we can only go further on in those things, that God has got many adventures for us as a church. Thank you. Well, thank you.
Just please understand that we'll be attaching a very strong bungee cord to Clive and Pat whenever they go travelling. I know I don't need to say this, but I'll say it anyway. I know you will hear from that this decision is not in any way because Clive feels at odds with the rest of the leadership team or the direction the church is going. I know nothing could be further from the truth. In talking with Clive, it's obviously a decision that he's taken very seriously and very soberly, but also I think it's very clear to hear from what he's sharing with a sense of faith and excitement for all that God has in store for them as a couple as they come into this kind of next season of life, but also for us as a church family together. And I know they're, and again, very clear to hear, they're in expectation of continuing to be very busy and very fruitful as ever. And we're going to pray in a moment, but we're going to have the opportunity to appropriately and publicly honour Clive and Pat in these coming weeks for the way that they have served, and we know they're going to continue to serve. So we'll be updating you on that. One final thing I should just say about the leadership team is that so far I haven't had hands laid on me for eldership. By the apostolic, that has been pointed out once or twice. So that is going to happen. And we're going to be having Mike Betts with us in May, which would be great. Mike, who has apostolic oversight for our group of churches here in the east of England. So that's going to be happening in May. I wonder if we could pray now. I wonder if you would join me in kind of praying for our leadership team, praying for Clive and for Pat in this next season as they just kind of wait with anticipation for what God is going to open up for them. So can I encourage us? You've been sitting there listening very patiently. Thank you so much. Let's get into just kind of small groups where we are. If there's someone around you that's in the leadership team, if Clive and Pat are near you, can I encourage you to pray for them, lay hands on them, encourage them. Let's just be open to God. And let's just give thanks again together for all that he's leading us in. If you're not sitting next to anyone in the leadership team, but you feel you want to go and pray for them, I encourage you to do that. You know, don't have to be stuck where you are. But let's just spend a little bit of time. Is that okay? Can we do that? Just giving thanks for all that God has planned for us. Pray over these guys and just encourage and bless them and bless each other as a church family. Okay? So...